Welcome to In the Classroom, an educational podcast making teaching and learning more transparent. My name is Benjamin Stewart, and today is September 18th, 2020. If you're interested in accessing the show notes for today's discussion, you can search professional educator, hashtag openflipped at benjaminlstewart.org. Today's essential question, what does it mean to be a professional educator when it comes to flipped learning? This was the essential question that came to mind as I was watching a recent video that was published September 16th, 2020, entitled hashtag Open Flip Discussion Week 4. This is a CMOOC that that Ken Bauer has and his team has made available online. And they're talking about the different pillars that relate to flipped learning. The pillar professional educator is the focus of this discussion. And I think Ken mentioned during the discussion in the video, we're living at work. I think this is a really relevant idea as many of us are adapting to teaching and learning 100% online, whereas maybe before it was more of an in-person situation. I think trying to find a balance between work and family in many cases when we're trying to balance our personal lives with our work commitments can be a challenge. But I think this idea of professional educator, I know as I was listening to the discussion, there are some really important key points that came up that I want to talk about today. The first being openness and just being open and being a model to our students in terms of how we as teachers are also lifelong learners and what that means in terms of how we share our experiences with others. I know in my case, as I'm teaching teacher trainers, if I can model my own teaching practice and willingness to share with the public my own teaching practice and my own philosophy, my own ideas, this is a good way to encourage my students who later will enter into the teaching force, hopefully have this same mentality of really a willingness to share what they have experienced, their knowledge, their skills, and really becoming interdependent and having this idea of helping others with the idea that they will also receive assistance as they need it. It's a reciprocal process. It's a mutual understanding, and you're really building relationships with others when you're willing to share your experiences with others. So I think this idea of openness and being a model to our students is really key when it comes to being a professional educator, not just in an open flipped learning environment, but basically in any type of professional environment. The second point, back channel, I think is really important because for me, what comes to mind is not just the back channel idea and encouraging a back channel to happen where students are maintaining conversations maybe at the same time that I'm presenting something or even maybe an activity that they are interacting with. They are also at the same time conducting these conversations. You know, I understand the risks of students maybe getting off topic. And, you know, as teachers, sometimes we really want to control every possible situation. And it's just really impossible. I think it's not even realistic to have that idea that I need to try as the instructor to control every possible way that they're communicating with each other, to try to encourage the use of, let's say, mobile devices and the way that they access the content. I mean, I know when I design my classes, I encourage my students to interact with the content in different ways, that a lot of times there's not just one way or one best way to enter into the educative experience, that there's a lot of points of entry when it comes to participating in a particular task, maybe in a way that they are interacting with each other and really encouraging different learning strategies that they can adapt when it comes to participating and engaging in the educative experience. I think back channel is just one of these, one of many many different ways that they can experience a class. But this came to mind when they were talking about the back channel and really encouraging the back channel to happen, that there's a lot of other ways that students also can engage in a class. And it's just this idea of, as an instructor, first of all, making it available, different ways that they can enter into the classroom experience, and really just encouraging them to decide for themselves, in a lot of cases, how they can engage. Now, I will say that sometimes students will not, especially if they're not used to having this level of flexibility in the way that they can engage in a class, they may actually reach out and ask, okay, what do I need to do? And in some cases, I know as the instructor, I need to, for some students, be very specific and say, okay, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. And so sometimes even it will be required for me to actually tell them how to go about starting a particular activity, for example. But it's always important that they know that they have choices, whether or not I end up telling them how to do it or whether they make the decision themselves. It's a lot of times it's just that students aren't used to having that flexibility. And even throughout a course, a 16-week course, maybe they actually learn or become more comfortable in making some of those decisions over time. Sometimes just depends on the student. It may even take longer. It may, it may not even happen within my own class. But the whole point here is to try to offer that level of flexibility when it comes to the back channel and, you know, the use of mobile devices in the classroom. And, you know, probably this is not much of an issue these days, because since most of us are teaching online, we're really relying on mobile devices to actually deliver the course and have them engage. But, you know, when we go back to in-person classes, what's this going to look like? Are we going to go back to that now rejecting mobile devices and rejecting certain technologies maybe that we subscribed to before COVID? Or is this going to actually change the way that we learn to bring in technology, content, and engagement, and bring all those together to really create and design the best educative experience? That's going to be the question. The last key point I'd like to talk about relates to workload. And there were some comments about maybe, you know, the workload that's involved in a flipped learning environment, maybe there's more of a time investment in implementing an online class or flipped learning environment. I think it's important to distinguish between the planning and the implementing of a learning design, because I see them as being separate, right? And I know for myself, there probably is a lot of planning and time required maybe to plan for the learning experience, maybe to plan the learning design. But I think the whole point, at least for me, the approach that I take with any use of technology is, how can I make the technology, how can the technology provide a way for me to work smarter, not necessarily harder? And I'll say the same for my students. How can the technology help make them work smarter and not harder? I really try each semester to find ways to simplify as much as I can the technologies that they're going to use to engage in the content and to engage with each other. And a lot of times this means not using maybe the most sophisticated or the quote-unquote best technology out there, or maybe the newest technology. A lot of times it's just using something that they are that they can access in an easy way, maybe that they are already familiar with. In my case, at our institution, we are fortunate to have available Microsoft 365, which includes the entire suite. And one of those apps that we rely on quite a bit is Microsoft Teams. So basically, my entire course resides within Microsoft teams, both in terms of different technologies that link with the educational design, but also live conversations. Both synchronous and asynchronous types of communication are all within Microsoft Teams. So we'll have live classes Monday through Friday. Every day we'll meet online, and that will all be within Microsoft Teams, as well as asynchronous types of communication through forums or even chats that occur over time, conversations that happen over time. Those all reside within Microsoft Teams. Again, since all students have educative accounts within Microsoft, they already have these accounts set up. They already have an email that's part of their school account. So it's just a matter of getting them into the system that already exists for them. And Microsoft Teams, I'm able to leverage other apps, for example, Flipgrid. In my case, I have a class for teaching and listening. So Flipgrid integrates quite nicely into the platform, Microsoft Teams. My students also have their own OneDrive where they are creating podcasts and different episodes, audio files that are being uploaded to OneDrive that's also easily integrated into Microsoft Teams. So it's really about finding the right workload, the way that technology, the way that I use technology. The idea is to try to simplify and hopefully the technology doesn't interfere with the learning objective, right? The whole idea is that it becomes seamless, that they see that using the technology actually makes it easier to engage, interact, and also allows me to be more accessible to them as their instructor, right? So they know that they can send me messages within Microsoft Teams in the chat. I really encourage students not to send me any personal emails. I never respond to emails because I want them to send me messages, private messages through the chat. If they need to send something and we need to correspond one-on-one, I want to keep everything within Microsoft Teams because, again, it just keeps it simple. And for me, it's much easier just to go into Microsoft Teams and have everything available there in terms of messages, courses. I can check everybody's work within Microsoft Teams. It just simplifies the whole process. So I think workload and planning is something that I think at first, if you're just adapting a new class to an online environment that maybe before was in person, maybe there might be more of a time investment involved. But I think that it's important for students not to feel overwhelmed with the technology. And I know that every course that I teach, the first few weeks, students may feel overwhelmed simply because they're not used to using the technology in the way that I am proposing. But I think for the most part, as they get used to the technology, they see that there's a flow. And that's really what I'm after, is trying to get a flow where students are engaging in the content and communicating with each other and with me in a way that is productive, efficient, effective, and something that they can maintain throughout the semester. So again, shout out to all the educators who were sharing their discussions in the YouTube chat, the Open Flip discussion for week 4. I enjoyed the discussion. The key points, again, for me that stood out: openness, back channel, and flexibility. I kind of put those into this same category. And then workload, and thinking in terms of workload versus planning. What does it mean to be able to use technology in a flipped learning environment in a way that really adds value, keeps it simple, but actually fosters learning and promotes communication between student and teacher? This has been In the Classroom, an educational podcast making teaching and learning more transparent. My name's Benjamin Stewart. Thanks for listening.